Have you ever gotten ice cream from the supermarket and you scoop it out, but it just doesn't have that ice cream parlor taste? Well, guess what? Did you know you can find real, unbelievably creamy ice cream at the grocery store? Yeah, that's right. Tillamook ice cream is made with more cream, so you get smooth, dreamy scoops each time. I'm not going to lie. The flavors are delicious and in family-sized cartons. I love their vanilla bean. Vanilla bean, to me, is the way that you judge anyone's ice cream, and their rich vanilla ice cream made with real crushed vanilla bean seeds is delicious. Or their Oregon strawberry. Oh, I love it. Sweet strawberry ice cream with ripe Oregon strawberry pieces. So, so good. Plus, you got to check out their Mudslide flavor. It's smooth chocolate ice cream with a ribbon of rich fudge and chocolatey chips. Oh, it's so good. I got to go get some ice cream right now. Plus, you know you're in good hands with Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer-owned and led by dairy experts. Boy, oh boy, I love them all, and you're going to love them too. Whether it's birthday cake, peaches and cream, mint chocolate chip, banana split, or cookies and cream, there is a flavor for you. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. That's TillamooK.com.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? I know when I open up mine, it is a sad scene. There's lone socks, holy socks. Well, guess what? It's spring cleaning, which means Bombas Spring Collection is here, and they have new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They've got stripes and florals, all new vintagey colored rib socks. I love them. They are the best sock your feet have ever been in. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers and use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
It's the rare case of a sequel that takes everything that you love about the first film and completely disregards and abandons it. We saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 2, Secret of the Ooze, so you know what that means.
What's a nigga grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Barney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of New York City! We are so excited to be here at Irving Plaza tonight. A very important movie. Before we start the show, I have one question for you. Let me hear you say, go ninja, go ninja, go!
Go ninja, go ninja, go!
Louder!
Go ninja, go!
All right, you guys are ready? All right, we're good. We're ready. We could do it all night, as the song does it for 4 minutes. It's a really well-executed song. So many layers about ninjas and going. I would like to bring out to the stage right now one of my co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
How dare you, New York! What's up, jerks? How's everybody doing? Good? I hope, like I said earlier, I hope that's you guys saying zooks and not boo. Because if it's boo, I will straight up punch you in the goddamn tits.
I would like it to be 75-25. 75 zooks, 25 boos.
25 people who are like, not a fan.
But that keeps the good energy
not
going.
Not a fan. I'm here for Paul and June, not the other guy. And I want him to know it, so I will boo. Oh no, some people are saying zooks. So my boos are drowned out.
So hard. Well, let's see how they feel about my next co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Some nice Junes in there.
I think they were Junes.
I think you should take comfort that they are probably, most likely, Junes. If you paid the ticket price, you're probably saying June.
Oh, no. I bet a bunch of emails went around that's like, guys, we have to buy tickets to this show. We have to wait in line in the rain so we can tell them we do not care for their antics. Because
finally,
these movies are great.
I've been on my treadmill. I've been so mad. I need to say it in person and
these
be reported.
This is an audience full of people that write second opinions.
Five stars. If you know one thing about this show, it's that we don't repeat our guests unless they are really, really good. We love our next guest. You know him from Happy Endings. You know him from The Mindy Project. Please welcome Adam Pally! Yeah!
Boo!
Yeah!
Boo!
No.
Can't confuse boo. That shit for a boo! That's some fucking excitement for me.
Welcome to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, this was a tough one.
I have a lot to say, but I also want to, and I don't mean to call you out on this, when I told you that we were doing this, you had an interesting response to it.
I said, I know it word for word. It's my son's favorite movie.
Oh, God.
Really?
So
yep,
sorry.
I've watched this movie about 1,000 times.
Oh, that would make me hate my child.
Oh, I do.
That's like for real. That would make me be like, you know what? I'm fucking done with you, bro.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Your taste is already garbage.
Here's the thing I will say about this movie. I don't know the lore and the history.
Oh. Well, let's... You don't.
But I do know this.
So you're not an expert on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Not. I will say this.
Well, are you an expert on turtles?
Well, let me say this much. I'm not an expert on them. What I know this much is true. I do not
This is a real secret of the booze.
Wait a second. So you just do not like these turtles.
I found them charmless. Yeah. I found them.
I agree.
Yeah, I will
don't
say
like them.
The one thing I want to get out of the way right at the top is anyone is going to complain, like, well, it's a kid's movie. Okay, hold on. It's also the worst kid's movie.
It's awful.
Like, it's not good. The kids shouldn't watch it.
I will say this. You are a bad parent for letting your son watch this.
Fair enough.
Only negative life lessons can be learned from this movie.
Totally, but you know what? For those 2 hours that he's watching this, he's not bothering me, so...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a movie that doesn't even respect itself because it's an hour and, like, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It couldn't even creep out an extra 5.
I watched this on the plane. I watched both of these movies, Hercules in New York and this movie on the plane yesterday from L.A., and legitimately hoped the plane would crash. I was praying for a 9/11 scenario. Hang on, New York. Stay with me. United 93.
You know,
it was an inside job, guys.
Watch the documentaries on YouTube.
Loose change, guys.
Let's roll.
Ooh, we're coming out hot. Straight
out
of the gate.
Coming out hot.
9/11.
There is, well, you know what? Turtles comes out hot because the first shot of Turtles Besides the opening montage of ridiculously cheesy pizza being eaten.
Cheesy.
So cheesy.
So cheesy, that pizza.
Is a glory shot of the Twin Towers.
Yep.
Just staring at you, begging to be taken down by a plane.
It is widely known that the reason Al-Qaeda planned the attack on the towers was because of this movie.
They were like,
they thought we were fetishizing those towers too much.
Yeah.
Hear me out, guys. Hear me out.
They're mad that Bebop and Rocksteady weren't in it. Okay, so talking about that opening, I've never been more grossed out by pizza.
Yeah.
Like, I started and going, ooh, I would like a slice of pizza. And then I was like, ugh, I never want to eat pizza again. Yep. It's disgusting to watch people.
And you'll... I don't know if you remember, just before this show, I was eating pizza, and we were all upstairs. No big deal.
We get it. You eat pizza.
Not a big deal.
Oh, we get it. You can handle lactose.
But I was uncomfortable being with a group of my peers eating pizza because I felt like this is a disgusting act.
Yeah.
There's no graceful way to do this. I'm gonna find a private spot and eat three
and
slices.
And shame.
And now I'm sitting here digesting it. Yeah. That's what's happened. Yeah,
I saw that private spot of yours. It was just the corner.
June, facing the wall.
Very much like the Blair Witch Project. June faces into a corner and eats her pizza.
That's how we all jerk off, right? In a shame corner?
The one that particularly grossed me out was the one where the couple is kissing romantically, and then they eat the pizza.
But there were a lot. There were so many that grossed me out because, like, the actors doing it, they were really running out of variations on how to eat pizza. Like, a couple of them were like shaking the slice, like, "Oh, I can't fit it." You know, that'll be my pizza guy. I'll be the guy that can't fit it. I can't, like, fold. What are you doing? And the guy was like, "Oh, I'm gonna be real cheesy guy. I'm gonna be the guy that like takes a bite and really draws it out."
By the way, it appears to me that that opening montage of people eating pizza was the only 2 hours that they shot in actually New York City.
Yes. Yeah.
That was about
100%.
It. 100%. This movie is so on like a scrim that New York City, I feel like, is blowing back and forth. Because it's sort of like just like a big matte painting in the background.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, you choose your tone, and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning, and when I launched my book, I said I'm doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you travel, do concerns back home nag at you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? Well, if they do, That's why you should invest in SimpliSafe home security today. That's right. For award-winning security and peace of mind wherever you go, SimpliSafe wants to be there with you by actually not going there at all, but staying at your house. Listen, Newsweek ranked it the best customer service in home security. Plus, it gives you whole home protection, sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus, a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, no contracts, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I'm going to tell you this. It's worth it for the peace of mind to know that when I'm on tour, when I'm out there in the UK, I can check in on my house. And with the time difference between LA and Europe, I loved having the 24/7 professional monitoring service in case something happened when I was asleep or not reachable. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/bonkers. That's simplisafe.com/bonkers. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
And we're introduced right away to the biggest asshole, this kid,
yeah.
Kino, who I guess you're supposed to like him. And the first thing is like these girl, like he's like, hey ladies, you want to go on a date or whatever?
Oh yeah.
And
he's a real creep.
Yeah, right off the bat.
And then the girls are like, not with you, nerd. All right, that's endearing. Oh, he's picked on, whatever. But he goes, well, I have a dream of, oh, she was like, in your dreams. He goes, yeah, in my dreams, you'll be thinner.
And by the way, she was overweight.
No.
Also, what a weird, trippy dream. Can you imagine, like, explaining that to your friend? And be like, dude, I had the weirdest dream. Do you remember, I don't know if you remember this, there was that woman. That woman that I talked to, and she was like, in your dreams, you remember that? Well, it was like her face on a thinner body. It was like so weird. Like,
she looked good. I need to find her and tell her to start doing some cardio.
Well, he also was super creepy when he showed up to April O'Neil's apartment.
Yeah.
Way weird.
He was like, I was supposed to deliver some pizza to the guy across the hall, but he's not there, and just walks into her apartment like, so I'm gonna walk in here. I figured you'd want this pizza and maybe like my action, right?
I mean, I want to talk about April O'Neil eventually, too, because I think that she has boundary issues.
Oh, for sure.
Clearly, yeah.
Yes. Front row agrees.
Well, what was the voice that Kino had on? Like, was the director telling him, like, more wheezing, more like inquisitive wheezing, you know what I mean? Like,
why can't I do it?
Everything.
No one was there. So I came here.
It's like you're squeezing a dog toy, but only can speak at the very last point of breath. Like,
guys, he has very severe asthma. That's the best he could do.
Kino, when they found out, the director was like, you can't say more than three words without wheezing? God fucking damn it. All right.
By the way, Kino was a stunt double in the first movie.
Really?
And he was brought in as a turtle. And then they took him out of the shell. Not unlike the live musical stage show, which we'll talk about, Turtles Out of Our Shell. But just to give a little bit of background for those of you who don't know, the first Turtles movie is darker, it's cooler,
Yep, fuck yeah.
I would say
I love
maybe
the guys that are like, yep. The guys that are like, I will defend that movie, I am a grown man, and I will tell you what's what. That guy gets it. The girl next to him is like, I live in shame. Yeah. The girl next to him is like,
he makes me watch the turtles.
Welcome to my hellscape.
Yeah. And the whole reason with Michael Bay doesn't get it. The original one, they got it.
You don't understand. You have to go back to the comics to really understand what this is about.
I mean, this is a dark, fucked up world.
Yeah, Michelangelo is not a joke, man. Please meet my lovely girlfriend.
So, just to put it in some context, I think, June, you probably would want to know this as well, is the filmmakers were under a tremendous amount of pressure to take out any violence or bad characteristics of the characters. So they basically the movie was enormously successful. And then the parents' council was like, it's too violent. They shouldn't use their weapons.
Movie.
They're ninjas. The
first one. Yeah.
So that's why in this movie, they don't use their swords.
Ever.
They're wearing them. They never use them.
Yep.
They
yeah.
use like a hot...
They
like
also
a...
rarely use their own shells.
What?
Yeah.
And thank you.
Except... Except in... Except to dance.
Yeah.
Wait, so
well, that's
you,
really
you,
what a turtle shell is for.
So you're saying that the shell should have been used more as a shield?
Yeah, or if you want to hide, just curl up in the shell.
Yeah, they never pop into their
shell. It's not a great hiding spot because you're still left with this giant shell in the middle of the room.
But they kept on saying they were looking for a new home. I was like, you guys, you...
You are home.
You're there. You were right.
Guys, if you lived here, you'd be home. Thankfully, for them, they were constantly up against an army of other ninjas who also didn't have weapons.
And,
thank God.
I couldn't figure out the best word for it, but I guess flinch fighting? Because everyone's like... jittering, like, hey, we're gonna maybe throw a punch, but not yet. There's a lot of dancing around, like, not even like
there's
Muhammad
just a lot
Ali
of dancing,
dancing.
Period.
There is a lot of dancing.
Everything is dancing.
Yeah.
Everything is like some choreographed movement that is not quite fighting, is more dancing than fighting. It's very bizarre.
This movie also was a pioneer of sorts to something.
It was not.
It was.
Respectfully disagree.
It was. It was a pioneer in this type of kids show that is now really prevalent, which is like groaning fight shows, like where there's just like a lot of like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or something. There's not a lot of stuff going on, but
guys,
there's a bunch of like ooh ah
guys,
and like if you listen to this, the whole movie is just like the turtles being like ha ha ee ha ha ooh ah ooh ah, and then like there's the bad guys like
this sounds like porn.
I mean, that's what it is, but now all these like kids shows that don't do violence, they're just these like grunt fighting shows where like people are like oh, here comes a kick, oh, I'm kicked, you know?
And they always seem to be out, like they're outnumbered in the beginning and it's not a problem. Then the same amount of people seem to show up later in the movie and it's a gigantic problem.
Yeah.
It's insurmountable.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know anything about these
guys.
You
don't. Well, you're not an expert.
I don't know anything.
Not an expert.
You want us to go through the specific personalities?
No, that's fine. But I want to know...
Could you break down what their personalities are?
I have a very fraught relationship with the Turtles. Because,
fraught?
Yes, because of my last name.
Raphael.
No, I'm not kidding you. I was made fun of. My sisters were made fun of because we were coming of age while
really?
When yet.
Yeah,
I
get
swear
that.
To God.
I get it.
Tough.
So I've always had a bit
that's
of
tough.
Hey Raphael, what are you? One of the Ninja Turtles?
That's it.
It must
that's
have
hey
been.
Raphael, let us watch you eat pizza.
Yeah.
Hey,
what are you
Raphael?
Gonna do? Save us?
To be a girl,
where's
to be
Donatello?
A tall girl. This felt horrible.
Where's Donatello?
It still feels
say
horrible.
Say hi to Michelangelo.
It's feeling worse and worse.
Hey, where's Donatello? But seriously, will you go to the spring dance?
By the way,
my question though was that I was saying I really did sort of disconnect from the turtles. I was just like, ugh, I hate these fucking turtles. Like, I hate them. And I knew that they were like a boy thing and I felt like they weren't for me. And
what about April O'Neil? That's your window.
Know, that's
your...
I'm saying I didn't know, I did not know anything about them. What makes them mutant?
The ooze.
Oh.
No, I know the ooze does, but what about them is mutant?
Well, okay. What do you, let me ask. Hang on. What do you think?
Besides the fact that they speak.
What do you think makes them mutant?
What about them is different than a regular turtle?
Let's dig into this.
I asked you the same question.
Let's dig in. Let's unpack it. Let's unpack it. What do you think about the ooze makes them mutant?
Look, here's where I had an issue. When I see those creatures, yep. To me it looks like, oh, there's a bunch of grown men wearing Halloween costumes of turtles. Like, I didn't
see... Well, what about Splinter?
Well, I don't even know what Splinter is.
Splinter is a rat. Now, do you think that Splinter the rat is like the turtles?
Yes.
Okay.
He was infected by the same ooze. I know.
Yeah, okay.
Except I know
Splinter's,
that.
Except Splinter's ooze made him speak in a stereotypically racist Asian accent.
Well, is that part of his mutation?
Yeah.
That he also became stereotypically Asian.
Yeah.
No, but
his mutation is he became Mike Myers Judge Ito.
Splinter, that's... You guys are being a little racist because Splinter is obviously an Asian rat.
Yeah, he is an Asian rat. He's a Shar Pei rat.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is Splinter is just a rat.
Yes.
Correct.
No.
He is a mutant rat.
He's a mutant rat.
No, he was in the ooze,
but he's mostly rat. You look at him and you just see a rat.
Wait, what do you think the turtles are?
June.
Your distinction.
He's this tall. He's this tall. He walks, he talks, and he fights. He shoots a bow and arrow.
He looks like a rat.
And he makes funnies. He makes funnies.
By the way, I want to talk about this funnies, but go ahead.
To me, he looks like a rat. If I see him, I think that's a rat. When I see the turtles, I don't know what to think. I'm looking at them and I'm like, what are they? I don't see turtle, I don't see person, that's why I'm asking about the mutation. Like, I don't know what they are.
Let's figure it out.
Well, would you say they got infected
by the ooze.
How about this? You saw the dog.
Can I say this much? Okay. I get that they're teenagers. Like, they're teenage.
Yeah. That energy is very apparent in this movie especially.
Apparent.
Yeah.
So annoying.
They're bouncing off the walls.
It's not featured in the movie, but in the comic books, a lot of it deals with their pubes coming out.
Disgusting.
Which are hidden behind their turtle shell.
Yeah.
They can't get in there because the pubes are so overgrown.
Because this is what I'm trying to say.
Because they're teenagers.
I really do want to articulate this. I feel like there's nothing turtle-like about them.
So besides their every physical attribute.
Besides looking exactly like turtles.
They don't behave at all like turtles.
I mean, there's nothing tall.
I
don't look like turtles.
No, I don't. I agree with you, and I think Raphael doesn't sound like a turtle either. He sounds like an animated germ.
Let's as we are talking about,
he's like, oh, duh, the pizza.
The character distinctions of this.
Dice Clay.
Oh, I wish one of the turtles had Dice's voice.
Oh my God.
And Hickory Dickory Shell.
I was banging this rabbit called Michelle. Two shells. Strong rhyme.
Before we get into the personalities of the turtles, let's just get into the people behind the turtles as 60 Minutes explores the actors. In the turtle suit.
Soaking wet with sweat.
Once we sweat them up, they're about 70 pounds.
Explain that to me, once we sweat them up.
In other words, once you perspire enough that the costume absorbs, it's like a big sponge. You're wearing a body sponge is basically what it is.
You must get drenched in that costume. What does that feel like?
Well, I don't know if you've, ever held a Nerf football after, it's been outside in the backyard.
It's kind of spongy and very heavy.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. I mean, you just completely soak the costume.
Throughout the day, things, because of the physical stress that you're under and your limited vision and limited breathing...
Limited breathing?
Yeah, we have a very small area where the oxygen that we breathe in comes in right through where we see as well.
Oh.
And unfortunately, there's not a good system for getting the carbon dioxide.
That's so weird.
So we tend to breathe in a lot of our own carbon dioxide after a while, which sometimes you get very sleepy. You start to get a little irritable.
These are death suits.
I don't.
Weighing 70 pounds of human sweat full of carbon dioxide that makes the actress sleepy.
There's nothing worse than the man putting his hands in the turtle's mouth. Just so the man inside can breathe?
You know that actor was like, can you get the first AD over here real quick? Can you get Ronnie over here real quick? Ronnie!
I'm dying.
These seem like nightmares. I have read another thing that between the first movie and the second movie, I guess in the first movie they had all the animatronics in their shells. But the Henson Company figured out this time how to put all the animatronics in their heads. So the heads were extremely heavy. So there's gyros and gears going off. So where the weight was dispersed before... So these people were breaking their ankles during the movie.
Really?
Yeah, because they're just in a robot costume full of sweat and carbon dioxide.
Now, who is doing the voices of the turtles?
Well, originally it was Corey Feldman in the first one, but he didn't come back.
I love how the turtle voices always stay like exactly the same no matter what the medium or how it changes. Like they always, Leonardo always has this like brash, like kind of crackly hero kid voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm a leader. I'm Leonardo. And then like Donatello's kind of the smart one. He's like nerdy and like it just always is the same thing, except in this one, Michelangelo is literally unhinged. He's crazy. He's fucking crazy. Like, whoa, bro, blah, blah, bro. Like, every sentence is like, whoa, bro, that's over here, bro. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess to June's point, I don't understand how the mutation made them into surfer bros.
Just one of them, really.
Just one.
It made them all have very distinct, specific personalities.
Yeah.
They're very hard to distinguish in this one, I feel.
I agree.
Yeah, they bleed into each other a little bit.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about April O'Neil. Because April O'Neil, we're introduced to her coming home from the supermarket, buying a baguette like everyone ever in a movie. If you're going to the supermarket, classic, you gotta buy that baguette.
Classic New Yorker just walking home with a supermarket baguette.
But gotta get that baguette, making that French toast.
That is a theme. There's a lot of like French and Europe jokes in this movie. Like there's that dungeon, like a dungeon this big, but it's like Europe. It was like, what?
By the way, that's not a dungeon, it's a fucking subway.
Yeah.
You fucking dummy.
Dumb fuck. There's another one that I'm forgetting too that comes out of left field like this weird.
I wrote down a lot of these jokes felt like a 60-year-old writer going like, yeah, the kids will like a Ralph Nader joke.
Yeah. The Ralph Nader joke makes no sense.
No.
It blew my mind.
They're in a net, and someone's like, and Michelangelo's like, yeah, bro, I guess this net was made by Ralph Nader.
Like, no, this net is really strong.
Strong, yeah.
I need to write Ralph Nader a letter or something like that.
Because I think Ralph Nader at one point, and again, this movie is 91, and I think Ralph Nader in the 80s did a show where like, people would write in and be like, hey, I bought a net that wasn't strong.
No, he had a whole thing where he was like, seatbelts need to be stronger, which I'm assuming
that's
what this
walk.
Is trading on?
Well,
that's a long walk.
I also like a movie for children that has Joan Rivers jokes in it. Can
Too
we
soon.
Talk?
Too soon.
What about Too what soon. About what about two Bogart impressions?
Yep.
Two. Not one.
And just
two.
In case you miss it, there's a fedora in another one.
Yeah,
just to really drive it home. Oh, hat. Great.
We'll always have parents.
Listen, Elsa.
What?
I'll buy it in a Looney Tunes because they were made years ago. This movie was made in 91. Like, no one is like, oh, yeah, that's a contemporary reference.
Well, then kids must be watching it being like, oh, they're making fun of those Bugs Bunny cartoons.
June, as April O'Neil, did you like her relationship with these turtles? Like, I couldn't quite put my finger on it. She was amused by them. She was fed up by them. She's a mother figure, but then she's also like a sexualized figure.
And she's
like,
also,
hey, cha-cha-cha.
Yeah. And she's also signing an awful lot of paperwork in this movie. She's just always signing. Extras are walking by, and she's signing papers for them and signing papers for them. It's crazy the amount of paperwork she's signing.
And she does very long news reports. I'm like, oh, this is a pre-tapes. Oh, no, we're live?
Yeah.
She's like, and I'm here with the head of the IGN company. And he's off having a meeting. Where's the producer? Get that guy closer to the camera. Let's get this going. Like, she's so lax about it.
She's also super inappropriate on the air. Like, she at the end, she's like, and a personal message. And right away, I'm like, no newscasters can do that. No, no, no. You can't use this. You can't use this.
Send a private message across the airwaves.
Yeah, no, no, no. This time is not for you. She's like, I'd just like to thank four people. And then she names the turtles. Of the casual viewer of the news.
Yeah.
Must be like, what the fuck is happening? She's thanking four Renaissance artists?
Yeah. She's like, I just want to give a shout out on the news.
Yeah. I mean, in other news, two planes have hit the World Trade Center. Like, can you...
Too soon? Too soon?
Come on.
We waited a good 10 minutes from the first time we did those jokes.
You guys, we're 30 blocks away.
My favorite moment with April O'Neil is when the turtles are, I guess, kicked out of her house. I don't know. They go to find their own house.
They leave so as to not endanger her.
Yeah. Okay.
The real estate search is a real departure in this movie.
Right. When they head down to the sewer, she stands, it's raining out, and she's holding an umbrella, and she stands, I guess, to make sure that nobody sees these turtles.
These mutant ninja turtles.
And so she's holding the umbrella, and the sewer hole's there, and one by one, and slowly.
So slowly,
they saunter into the middle of the road and greet her. Some have a full conversation with her.
Yeah.
And then head down, and it's such an odd parade, and it's
are so slow moving. In
for
all
ninjas,
aspects.
By the way, for ninjas.
But much
well,
like
they are turtles.
That's right. Much like turtles.
You know, it's a three-pronged deal, June. You know, because they're teenaged, so they're a little rambunctious, but they're mutants, so they're also not fully comfortable in their bodies, but then they are turtles, you know, so they also move slower.
You could also argue as a teenager you're not comfortable because of puberty, too, so they're going
through
different
things. There's a lot going on with those turtles.
Because they don't...
they're getting boners at inopportune times.
Right.
They're like, oh, I want to fight these ninjas, but I've got a boner, uh-oh.
Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
June, what I had an issue with was that why did they send April out to lift a very heavy subway grate when they are clearly stronger
and
more adept? Like, why couldn't they just say goodbye to her in the house?
And it was raining out. To me, if I were her, there's no way you'd get me out in the weather like that. There's no way.
Do you think the conversation was like, aren't you gonna come say goodbye to us? And
what's
she was
weird
like, no, it's raining. And he's like, come on, we've been living here for like 6 weeks. Come outside, say goodbye to us.
What's weird is they appear to need April O'Neil to say all clear. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
they are ninjas. They operate in the shadows. They are silent.
They are not. They are never hidden.
No.
They make a shitload of noise.
So much noise.
And they are slow. They break every tenet of a ninja.
Yep.
The only
they're
tenet
also
that
loud.
They have,
they're loud. Yes. I believe that the Foot have every reason to think we got to get rid of these guys. They're giving ninjas a bad name. We are ninjas. The Foot.
By the way,
we are ninjas.
I didn't realize that the Foot was a very Oliver Twist situation where they're culling the city for
martial arts runaways.
Yeah.
Do you think, I'm gonna ask a stupid question and one of you fucking dildos is gonna know the answer. Are they called the foot because the ninjas in the Marvel Universe are called the hand? Thank you, nerds.
Did you get this, June, too? Like, Kino's plan is I'm gonna go infiltrate the foot because I'm really good at martial arts, and then I'll report back to you. But the plan really falls apart when he brings the turtle with him.
Yeah,
like in broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
So not even so hiding, like walking behind a car.
He's waiting. And he's like, all right, hey, we're gonna go and do our little tournament to find out who can be a villain. And he's like, good. And he's like, one sec. Then he runs over here and he's like, hey, so I think the plan's working.
It's going great.
Going really great, right?
I'm a grown man-sized turtle.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back here.
But all these other guys are right there. Do you think they can see me?
You wanna follow me? Follow me, yeah, come on.
Yeah, but they're...
There's this great part of that too when he comes back, when Kino walks back to Raphael, who's sitting two seats away, and Raphael goes, what happened? Didn't you see it? Why are you trailing me if you're not paying attention? What were you doing?
This is before cell phones. He wasn't playing
Yeah,
Candy
he wasn't
Crush.
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
I wrote in my notes at one point, Splinter is the most lifelike character in this movie. And that is a completely robotic character.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Splinter talking about the rules of what's good about Earth and what must be avoided. Here we go.
For 15 years, you have been confined below. Now, the outside world beckons your teenage minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they could never understand. Their world can never be ours.
Not even pizza?
Pizza's okay.
Oh, man, you got a heart attack.
And for Pally, this makes him think of his son.
Yeah, man.
Now, does your kid want to eat pizza all the time?
Yeah. And you know what? That's fine. As long as he's not asking me to cook for him. I don't give a shit.
See, here's what's interesting.
Easiest way out. That's my book on parenting.
I'm going to take a gander at the plot of the movie. I feel like the story is that they are unhappy and dissatisfied with their origin story once they find it out. And
yeah.
Like set out to find a more interesting version.
They don't ever get to what the ooze is. The movie is billed as the secret of the ooze.
But I actually think
nothing is learned or gained.
But once that basic premise like was set up, I thought that's interesting to me.
What, wanting to truly uncover your own origin story?
Well,
because I believe...
No, wanting for it to be more exciting. I thought
yeah,
that
that's
was
a struggle we can all
I mean, I
relate
can certainly
with.
Relate to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, feeling like they don't have a great story to tell.
Yeah, they're actually kind of boring.
I thought that was a cool idea, but then it was just discarded.
Well, I don't know that that's the actual plot of the movie. To think of a better origin story.
What is the plot of the movie?
I think it is to uncover their actual origin story.
But what Splinter says to them is that basically it was an accident, the reason why they were mutated. It was just by pure chance. And that is dissatisfying. And they set out to find a better answer.
Is that
the plot of the movie?
I'm going to go toe-to-toe with you here and say, I don't even think that there was that much thought into the plot, because I'm literally thinking like, what is the plot of this movie? I don't know. I know that Splinter is come back.
No, Shredder.
His hand,
yeah,
oh,
like
Shredder.
Five times.
That hand, they're not gonna get enough of that gag. Goosh,
yeah.
Hand up,
now,
hand up.
I'm correct. Shredder's body, after his defeat at the end of, I'm assuming, the first movie, is dumped in a junkyard full of ninjas? Question mark. Am I right?
Well, it
he's
seems
dumped
like...
in the garbage, where they like are then like his hand comes out and then they're like, pan over, and it's where all the foot is meeting.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I'm here now. And they're like, oh shit, you're back.
We'll show a clip of how Shredder speaks. This is when he mutates his own animals, which we can get into in a second, but here we go.
Come forth. Wolf, snapping turtle, incredible. Yes, come forward. Attack me if you will. When it is over, you will call me master.
Mama? Mama!
Mama! Get off me!
All right.
That's the best part of the movie.
It is.
That is my son's favorite part. In fact, my son, I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My son will scream to me oftentimes, they are babies! Because it is so funny. It is the funniest moment in the movie by far.
It is genuinely funny. I love that moment. I loved it.
By the way, just so you know, that these characters are supposed to be, these characters, Toka and Razor, were created from the movie, although Bebop and Rocksteady were from the cartoon, and they were like badass bounty hunters, but they wanted to like tone down those characters and replace them with these atrociously frightening ones. Like, those characters are fucking scary.
And they're babies. Yeah. Which is even weirder, because they are babies forced into combat.
I really struggled with that.
This is like Sudan.
It's like the Sudan.
This is a movie about child soldiers.
Yes. This is Brazil. This is basically Brazil.
This is an allegory for child soldiers.
June, what's going on?
The Hutu and the Tutsis, guys.
June's having a hard time
with
this.
It was horrible. I felt terribly
for those babies?
When the babies started really fighting, I almost cried.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. It's
super violent.
Never saw them transition, which I'm glad about, believe you me. But I don't know how they became that violent and what happened, and it was just...
Well, here's my thought on this, too, which leads to the biggest question I have about the whole movie. Shredder seems to be a badass, whose only move is to stand around and watch fights.
Yep.
He never participates at all.
He's like Don King. He's kind of the fight promoter of ninjas.
Why would
he arranges the fight and then watches?
And even his number two henchman also stands around. Yep. The two bad guys in this movie don't fight. They just let babies who are ill-equipped to fight for them, which is a bad plan.
Well, and that's why they lose.
I guess
their
you're
structure,
right.
Like on a like a very like structural process level. They can't, what they're doing doesn't work. But they haven't learned. The flaws of the first movie have not created any kind of second movie drive to be like, wait, I should fight.
Yeah, maybe I should work on my own skills as a karate
Well, there
person.
Is the moment at the end when...
It takes him to the end
when
until he
Shredder,
takes the...
Yeah, takes the ooze. But then, even then, he doesn't really want to fight. He just wants to knock down a pier.
Yep.
And
on himself.
To his own destruction.
Yeah.
Knock it forward.
The turtles even say, I think Michelangelo even goes, whoa, dude, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah. What's crazy is so afraid of violence is this movie, the villain has to defeat himself.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
First, the villain is knocked out cold by a pretty wicked guitar sting.
No, keytar.
Oh, keytar. Really got hit hard with that keytar.
No one else.
Yeah.
No.
Just him, because he was standing so close to this. If that was true, Stone Devil Pilots would have rocked me up there when I was 13.
kind of like Back to the Future when Marty gets hit with the bass.
Yep.
But here, I'll show you him getting kicked the keytar hit here. This is more visual, obviously, but.
Hey, come here.
I'm just gonna fast forward to
the girl in the red dress gets a lot.
We're gonna
of
get
action.
To the ninja. We'll get to the ninja rap. Don't you worry.
On the contrary, we're going somewhere.
Hey, Donnie, come on.
You trying to stop us? I'll cover her with this.
Full volume.
Kino, it's not your
turn. Hit
it, Mikey.
For those of you, obviously, if you're listening, you cannot see what happened. They play a few chords on a keytar. It is so forceful that the speaker itself shoots out of the speaker. And that's coming, I would say, for this movie, at least 60 to 70 miles an hour. To hit him in the chest,
yep.
And then push him out a wall and a window.
Over everyone's heads. He's like, he's 10, 15 feet in the air.
He's also wearing 70 pounds of metal.
Oh, more.
Easy.
More.
Easy.
Yeah. You could argue, you could throw the entire speaker at him and you'd be like, okay, he would be fine. Yeah.
If this speaker put out that loud a sound, every human non-mutant in the club would be dead.
All, I wish they would just cut back and everyone is bleeding out of the ear.
Yes. And it's like, why did this happen? The turtles have made me deaf. Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for going to one of those dock clubs, which is also connected to a sewer.
I get that,
though. I thought they were in a sewer, and then they were on a dock.
That makes sense, because Vanilla Ice is their friend of the show.
Vanilla Ice is not the secret guest. I've heard a few people bring that up. It's not happening. Sorry.
I gotta take umbrage with Vanilla Ice in this movie.
Dolores Umbridge?
A little bit. I gotta take Dolores Umbridge. So Vanilla Ice is a world-famous plagiarizer for Ice Ice Baby, right? So this is his number two biggest hit, is Go Ninja. So I'm a diehard New York Knicks fan. And in the late 80s and early 90s, when you went to a Knicks game, I'm talking to you guys, I know you're from New York.
I know
they
this.
Played a song that went, Go New York, Go New York, Go. This motherfucker... plagiarized both his hits.
Adam, I think you're going to think differently when you hear Ice explain how he came up with this song. Take a listen to this old clip.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go, 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 go.
They sent me a script and everything. Tell me what was going on and... in the movie and what was going to be happening. You know, they told me all about this whole scene. It's exactly like they, you know, they had it wrote down and everything, and told me to write and make it Ice. So I did. I hyped it up, put the funky beats behind it, and made it Ice. And they told me to keep it clean, you know, for the kids and everything, which is me anyway, so.
Not cool.
I love his fascination of how a script works.
Yeah, they wrote it all down.
They kind of showed me the whole thing, and then I got there, and it was exactly how it was written.
I was shocked. That blew my mind. They were really thorough. Like, they thought about everything.
I remember on my movie, we had a script. We didn't say any of that shit. I just did motorcycle tricks.
Well, speaking of the rap, before we watch the rap, are we to believe that he's improvising that rap
on the spot.
He sees these turtles. He's up on stage doing a great show. Sold out crowd in the sewer club dock station.
And he's just playing crushing himself.
And he's like, oh shit, some turtles, they got some crazy Hold on. Guys, follow me. Follow me. I got a rap. It's
That's not really how it happened.
Okay, tell me, Jim.
He looked scared of the turtles at first.
Yeah, he was. Right. He backs everybody up.
He backs everybody up.
He gets in front of his dancers like a real leader.
Yeah, and it's only when the turtles start dancing themselves and seem to be getting a good response from the crowd that he realizes, see, my take on it was he felt he was being upstaged by the turtles.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
His own show and was like, I gotta get in on this.
This part also has one of my favorite tropes of all bad movies, which is the ponytailed record executive.
Sure.
I didn't think he was a record executive. I thought he was a stage manager.
I thought he was a record executive because they say...
I think he's a club promoter.
He's a club promoter, but there's two...
Call the police!
Yeah, but you know, the other one has a ponytail, too. He's littler. He's got a littler ponytail.
And then that's how you know the hierarchy of power.
Once your ponytail grows out, then you get to run the club, kid. But until then, shut up and do the dishes.
By the way, I would love to see that movie.
Oh, my God.
That movie that is all about ponytail length, like Roadhouse serious. Once you grow that ponytail, like Sam Elliott, once you grow that ponytail, then you got it, kid.
It starts with, like, a long shot of some guy just like... What does he say at the end, though? That he says, like, they come back and he goes, like, wait, I call the police. And he's like, what are you doing?
They like it.
They like it.
A sign of a good club promoter. Hey, look, we're going to go with it. We're going to run with this. Here is the ninja rap. You'll get to see everything that we just discussed.
Hey, come here.
There's Ice
getting
scared.
Look at those costumes. I love this place.
I'm gonna just pause it for 1 second and say, so the band is like, oh shit, we should put a funky beat to this fight. Because the band is starting it. The band is starting a little bit.
Keep in mind, mutant turtles are fighting a mutant dog and a mutant snapping turtle.
And one of the turtles, who clearly has a sword on his back, took someone's tie to use as a weapon.
And Vanilla Ice and his guys aren't making no effort to be like, hey, everybody, we should get out of here. Hey, this is dangerous. Let's all get out of here.
The Rolling Stones took more care at Altamont.
Yes. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
So
Cantor Fitzgerald took more care during 9/11. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
So the music starts. Ice-T is already bopping his head because the band has started. Here we go.
Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down?
Movie is terrible on a level that is unparalleled.
The circle kind of continues here because the band starts. Yep. He starts rapping. The turtles say, whoa, he's rapping. That's a great song. We got to stop our fighting.
And do a choreographed dance.
They're all
in
sync.
I'm sort of wondering like how Ice even knows they're ninjas.
That's what I'm saying. He's taking it in too quickly.
Yeah.
They've done nothing ninja-like except push a table.
Yeah, but if you asked Ice, he'd be like, well, it was written down in the script. So when I read it first, I was like, they might be ninjas. And then when I got there and they gave me the script again, I read it again, and it was, they were ninjas.
Well, but I think maybe what happened is he knew the title of the movie.
Right. He had seen the first one.
Yeah.
And he had seen the first movie, so he knew they were ninjas.
He knew they were ninjas.
I also don't like how thrusty that dance number is.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it...
I didn't like it at all.
Just jutting out his junk.
What's he doing?
He's jutting out his junk.
Yeah.
There you go. Imagine it, people. Imagine it at home.
I'm no dancer.
You're not.
I don't claim to be.
You're not a dancer?
I'm not a dancer.
Got
but
it.
I will say that those moves looked extremely rudimentary.
Not good at all.
Borderline line dancing. I mean, basically, the choreographer was like, okay, Ice, you're going to shake your head back and then put your hand to the right.
Oh,
and he was like,
Ice,
if you write it down, I could do that.
But...
I disagree. I do think Ice had some good moves.
What?
I do.
are you talking about?
I think it's not about Vanilla Ice's whole thing. It's not his dance moves are not about. They are elementary, but it's in the. It's like a very specific.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Like a very specific thing that.
I like June's dancing there.
Never have the people listening to this podcast been like, what are they doing? More so than now.
I will say, Adam, I don't think you could do those. I'm so sorry to do this to you. I don't think you could do those moves like Ice is doing.
Uh-oh.
All right, I will play. All right, wait. Let me give you the backing track. Let me give you
and
the backing track.
And then it's like these. It's just like these. It's just like jumping
guys,
back
by
and
the
forth.
Way,
are we gonna
neither,
have it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Exactly.
Neither of you look like Ice doing them.
Yeah, I look a million times better.
It's the Green Machine gonna rock the
town. Well, I was gonna do it in the backing track, but it took some.
It doesn't matter. They just saw it for real.
And it was great. And basically, just I mean, and we've all seen this happen. You know, when a club kind of has a great night, the Daily News slaps the headline on the paper the next day, Ninja Rap is born, with all the Ninja Turtles on the front. And, because whatever happens in the clubs kind of gets, it gets the front page treatment if it's big.
Oh, yeah. The Daily News has their finger on the pulse of new rap music.
By the way, the top story is Doc Demolished. That's gonna be the top. We don't need to get into a major landmark getting demolished. Let's get into the Ninja Rap.
Also, where's the fucking pun?
That would be
the
post.
Daily News. Where's my goddamn pun?
So. I guess so.
Ninja Rap born, foot dead. I would have done with that. I could have.
Well, let's get into the audience here because obviously there's things that maybe we didn't get a chance to bring up. All right. If you are underneath that thing, you gotta stand in a line and I'll come to you. All right. Ooh, you have papers out. He has papers out titled Notes.
Oh, boy.
And you have your cell phone out.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Oh, it just says notes. He basically has notes and it just says notes, 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 notes. But he's got it on his phone. But this is, all right. He brought his own props, prop comedy in the house.
I am gonna say right now, you should sit down. We're gonna let you ask your question. Is this going to be worth it?
All right, I'm gonna put you really on the spot. What would your Daily News headline be?
Oh boy. Wow. Nope, it's impossible.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
That's a really hard one.
That's a really hard one.
I took 4 years of UCB and I can't do that shit.
Okay.
All right, here you go. What's your question?
First off, I saw this when I was 7 years old in the theaters. I lost my shit for Ninja Rap then, and I lost my shit now when I was sitting here. I just wanted to say that the voice of Splinter, who is taking care of four teenage boys who are not his own, is Kevin Clash, the voice of Elmo.
That's true.
What?
Wow. Yes. That is right. Yes.
Is that
true?
A sobering fact.
That is true.
That's super racist now.
Oh, and he brought the DVD. Do you have a question? You just want to show the... Oh, are you... All right, here we go. You are at both shows. I've seen you rallying your fist multiple times. All right.
Sweet shorts.
By the way...
Nice.
They have anchors on them. By the way, if you come up with a Daily News title, I'm going to let you ask a question, but you...
If you're coming to the late show, wear some fucking pants. Yeah.
There's always one guy that's
Respect yourself. Respect yourself.
Yeah.
I don't need to see your bare legs. You too, guy. I don't need to see your goddamn legs.
They are nice legs. All right, here we go. Your question.
All right.
Oh, it's long. Compact that.
Okay.
Compact that like pants to shorts.
All right, so Ninja One movie ends with Shredder compacted into.
I gotta tell you, gotta get to the point. You gotta get to the point.
Here we go.
Cliff noted.
So, what New York City policeman
leaves a criminal mastermind from the first movie 10 minutes later.
Guy.
I'm here.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is that your girlfriend next to you, sitting next to you? Are you with him?
No. No? She says no.
So I just want to make sure you're sitting alone.
I am.
Okay, fair enough. Please continue talking about the Ninja Turtles.
Can I help break it down? Because I think what you're saying is they don't do a good job of disposing of the body. Even in this one.
Of Shredder.
Yeah, Shredder. He falls off the dock and they're like, oh, he's dead. No one does any body check.
True.
They don't put him away.
I haven't seen the other ninja movies that came out after this.
There's only one before.
And one after.
Well, that's the Michael Bay one, which reinvents it.
No.
Oh.
No, Paul. No.
How dare you do that in the crowd? Sorry.
Paul, get back up here. They're going to kill you.
All right. That was his question, and it was great.
Paul, hurry up. These white people are going to kill you.
I know. All right. Do you have a New York Post headline?
Yes, I do. Okay. All right. Nothing happens because ninjas should be secret.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. All right, very great. Nice. Your question. You have pages of notes.
All right. So, if we decide that there is actually no story in this movie, could this actually be a story about two single fathers trying to raise their children in New York City?
Yeah.
Wow. Like My Two Dads, old reference. Paul Reiser.
You're right.
Greg Evigan.
Shredder and Splinter have a lot in common. They have these unruly ninja children. I get that. That's good.
This guy tweeted at our account, and he said, I'm going to bring him up in a second. How can I be guaranteed to be picked for the show? And I said, you have to make a sign that says, best question ever, with an arrow pointing down to your head.
Okay.
Now, I was hoping it would be a big-ass sign.
Can I ask you a question? Can you look at the girl next to him?
Oh, yeah, I see her. Cowering.
You mean the one cringing?
Covering her. Look, covering. She's on camera. Amazing. I didn't even know we had that technology.
I didn't know we had that capability.
This is like the Video Music Awards.
I know, that was amazing.
I know this guy has a question. I only want to talk to you.
Why are you so afraid of this question?
I have so much anxiety. You know?
Now, can I ask you a personal question? Did you marry this gentleman?
No.
Okay.
What?
Tough no.
Is your relation status?
Tough.
What is the status of this relationship?
We're together.
Oh, together. God.
Got it.
I'm owning up to him.
She is owning up to him.
Yeah. Every dude in this audience is just like, on my way to steal your girl.
I have to say, you should be proud of him because he didn't make a giant sign like I requested. You had a very small sign they just flashed me that just says, best question, and it points down. So,
great.
You were convinced that you had the best question. I'm not going to put you on the spot about the Daily News thing.
I swear to God, I hope
you have it.
I hope he turns to her and goes, will you marry me?
I'm going to hold him. She's giving Jason the finger.
Oh, my God. That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, my God. That's what it was.
It's not.
That's what it is.
No, it's not. No, it isn't. Here we go. He's like, he can't live up to the question now.
No. Oh, did you not know this would happen?
I'm going to hold the mic.
Have you listened to this show?
I got it. The man that voices Toka and Rezar in this movie.
Oh, I can't believe we're really doing this.
Yes, go. We're getting into it. I love it. Yes.
He has 9 other How Did This Get Made credits to his name.
List them.
He is credited as the Anaconda in the movie Anaconda.
Great. What else?
He's credited as Godzilla in Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
Keep going.
He's LL Cool J's parrot in Deep Blue Sea.
Keep going.
He's Jennifer Lopez's paraplegic dog in The Backup Plan.
Keep going.
He's Assasimon in The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Keep going.
The Goombas and Yoshi in Super Mario Bros.
Keep going.
Goro and Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat.
Ooh, ooh.
Bunny the dog in Hudson Hawk, which...
Fuck yeah, bro.
Bruce Willis shoots out of the window.
Yep.
And he's Azrael in The Smurfs, the movie that we do not speak of.
Great.
Wow. Great you know question. Great
marry that dude.
Question.
Marry that dude.
Marry that guy.
Marry that dude.
Marry him.
Marry him. Marry him. Marry him. Marry him. Marry him.
Do you have anything you want to say to your person in a relationship with?
No!
All right. I am going to do something.
Oh, bro, you are getting laid tonight.
She says,
No, laid. She's going to be like, oh, remember when you said that thing about Yoshi?
In front of 1,000 people.
I want to give you my body.
June, as a woman, if you were with a man who came up with a question like that, what would you...
I feel like I am with a man.
I don't think
June.
It came up
with a man. June! June! I like that the fans here treat June like the running back of the Green Bay Packers.
I'm going to do something that I always wish that they would do, which is I'm going to take the person to the way back of that line. You're going to come up. You're going to get the ask a question.
Yeah.
There you go. Win one for the underdog. You better
from
not...
the back to the front, let's do it up, dude. Okay, all handlebar right. Mustache? Okay.
He's rocking the beard, too. It's just not solo. Okay, here we go. What's your question?
I can't compete with any of that. I just want to know, what is the deal with the Bart Simpson glass that has...
Oh, yeah. I noticed that.
Shot.
They drink out of a Bart Simpson glass. I guess it's just to kind of be like, hey, we're cool.
Contemporary?
Yeah.
No, these people want to talk to them.
They know why.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to go back to you. Okay, come forward to me because we're going to get into... Yeah.
It's because they both share the catchphrase, cowabunga.
Got it. Okay.
So they just—they both share the catchphrase. They both.
Well, I guess they both use it, and they both popularized it in different arenas.
Now let me ask you this, because I feel like the nerds are gonna know who did it first.
Simpsons.
Simpsons did it.
Why are you yelling? I'm right next to you with a microphone. He's like, Simpsons did it. The microphone is an inch away from his face. All right, here we go. What's your question?
Oh, I love when they have paper.
I know, right? I gotta say this. April O'Neil goes, oh, what is Splinter doing on the roof? Oh, that's right.
Oh, I love
this. This is a great line.
I feel like only women agree with this.
No, this line is amazing, yep. And I wrote it down. Here we go. This
got me. All right.
So I will give you the April O'Neil line, and you do the Splinter line. Okay, ready? Or do you want me to do... Okay, here, you do the April O'Neil line, I'll do the Splinter line. Ready?
What's he doing on the roof?
Coming.
Oh, yeah.
To a conclusion.
Yeah.
St. Anthony.
Oh, nice.
St. Anthony.
Nice.
Thank
you. Yeah, that was like...
Where are my women out here? I need some women questions. All right, come here. All right, good. Come on, all right. You come over here.
So excited.
Oh, you got notes too? Okay. Here you go. What is your question?
My question is, so clearly the overarching theme of this is environmentalism.
Clearly.
And keep it clean, keep it green. If it were made today, what would the overarching politically topical theme be? And who would the musical guest be who makes a teenage or
Wait,
mutant or ninja or
you
turtle
know that
theme
Teenage
song?
Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 is currently being made, right?
The original second one.
Got it.
All right, well, the musical guest, it could be anywhere from Iggy Azalea to Taylor Swift. I think that's where we're probably getting...
Taylor Swift would never involve herself with Ninja Turtles.
You don't
she
think
would never
so?
Stoop never. To such she garbage.
Never involve never. Herself. She would never.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees
Taylor,
with that?
Taylor is classy.
Yeah.
She is.
I tell you what, Pharrell would definitely write a song for it.
Oh, yeah.
Pharrell.
Because it's
pizza time.
All right, good question. And I think the theme would stay the same.
Yes, environmentalism.
Yeah,
yeah, we haven't changed.
Anyone else notice that the font for TGI...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the font for that company just looked like it was made out of masking tape.
Props weren't great.
I do have a theory about the movie, before I take another question, about, I think they were trying to make this a movie about Kino, because with 5 minutes left in the movie, he's inexplicably training with Splinter. He's like, oh, I gotta help my friends. It's like, it's exactly the moment from Empire Strikes Back, but with no lead up.
Yeah.
It really is just out of the blue. It's like, oh, that's happening? And then he goes and helps his friends, and he proved to be successful.
Why are Kino and Splinter sitting out the fight?
Splinter doesn't do
shit. Splinter doesn't do shit. He meditates on it.
I guess so. That's a bummer, though.
Yeah, he just...
Yeah, you want that Yoda moment where he comes down and fights.
And,
yeah.
And kicks ass like Yoda does.
All right, your question. Do you have a Daily News headline? Okay. Oh, wow, you do.
Daily News headline, The Secret of the Oops.
Yeah! Oh,
great.
I like it. I would have taken The Secret of the June.
I would have taken The Secret of the Boobs.
All right, here we go. What's your question?
Okay, my question is, as an animal sympathizer, where did they get the wolf and the snapping turtle in the middle of New York City, and then after they are returned to animal form, baby animal form, what happens to them?
And wasn't it a dog?
It was a wolf.
It's a wolf.
It's a wolf. Wolf, okay.
All
yeah,
right,
June,
relax.
Speak to that.
I don't know. Okay, I was very disturbed by that story.
What did you say?
I was very upset by the way they treated animals in this movie.
Because the first time it was an accident.
Yeah.
Now June, do you feel for animals in movies a lot?
Yes,
do you feel bad
do.
For animals when they're in movies? Do you think the snapping turtle got a good credit?
I should hope so.
I do find it odd that the original writer, I know that Bebop or whichever one was the snapping turtle was a long time ago, but the idea to put a snapping turtle when the heroes are already turtles.
I wondered that as well.
It's so confusing. It's like,
doesn't seem, he just seems to be more aggressive, but snapping turtles don't, like he had horns and stuff.
Why wouldn't he be an ally of the turtles?
Yeah, like, and if anything, there's a billion animals. They could have picked anything.
Yep.
Well, like Bebop and Rocksteady were like a warthog and a what?
Rhinoceros. Yeah, those are intimidating.
To this guy's point, what is Yoshi? A turtle, right?
A dragon.
Oh, he's a dragon. Okay, forget it. Just, you know what, nerds?
All right.
Relax.
Hey, if you want him to shut up, just say 9/11.
I asked this question on our last show. I'll ask it again. Who thinks they have the best question? A question that we've not... This guy. All right. I appreciate, by the way, you not raising your hand.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you stay
up
here.
That guy was like, fuck it. Not me, man.
That guy gets it.
Oh, he did all. Swear to God, you stole my question. All right. Sorry. You took his question.
I have another one.
You got to let him punch you. What?
I have another one, though. My backup follow-up to that is if the Troco and Rezar, whatever, can break metal and they can destroy an entire city block, how come they can't push down that cardboard thing they're stuck in?
Good question.
Good question.
They're
good
pens.
Question.
They're just babies at that point. Oh. Sir, who had the best question? You said you had the best. Did you already ask a question or no?
No, I haven't.
You're dressed the nicest, you get to ask the question.
Thank you.
This guy wears a blazer to How Did This Get Made? He gets it, shorts. He gets it.
I bet that he may even have a Daily News
title. It's not just
title.
You, it's this guy too.
By the way,
I've been looking at this guy's legs all night. Not a fan.
What is it? What is it about New York that, like, as soon as it turns above 60, some dudes are just like, nah, it's shorts weather.
You know what? From now on, bro, shorts and flip-flops.
My Sequoia trunks have been locked up all winter. Soon as it gets 60, I'm gonna let these fuckers breathe.
Yeah, bro.
All right, here we go.
I'm gonna have Subway feet, and I'm gonna get into bed.
And I'm gonna go out in public.
Wear all the shorts you want, New York. Do not wear those fucking sandals.
Oh.
I don't want to see sandals.
Guess what I don't want to see, New York? Your fucking feet.
Yeah.
I'll take it further.
I don't want to see the bottom of your body.
All right, here you go. What's your question?
So both in this movie and the better movie, isn't it incredibly problematic that the turtles are attracted to female humans? Like, April O'Neil or the swimsuit model that's on the wall for Michelangelo. Like, that seems really problematic, and shouldn't that scientist go and...
Hey, man, are you saying that they shouldn't...
Some, you know,
that they shouldn't be turned
girls?
On by other species? They should only
man,
be turned
what
on
a
by
hardcore...
Turtles?
Wow, wow, wow. Drawing the lines, huh?
What's the so matter? Turtles... You never seen a dog get off on someone's leg?
No, yeah, these turtles...
Hey,
yeah,
guys, the guy's wearing a blazer. He's uptight. He can't handle interspecies relations.
Ladies can take a turtle dick.
Yep. How do you
yeah,
know that?
The same.
How do you know that, Paul?
I've seen videos.
Paul,
I've seen
see
videos.
Your, let's see your search history.
Turtle dick, reporter.
April O'Neil and Michelangelo fanfic.
I mean, but that does bring up a good point that, like, the turtles probably have, like, the craziest fuck fic pics. You know, like, there's definitely, like, April O'Neil Bukkake pics and, like...
I'm certain, based only on some of the insanity that has happened in this room tonight, that there is super fucked up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan fiction.
There definitely
is. I'm certain there is.
Yeah, like all right. Splinter and, yeah, Splinter oh, and Michelangelo
don't
double
do
teaming.
Don't do it. Don't
this,
do it.
I'm going to go to this guy who has no chance at all to ask a question. He's on the second floor, not making any issue to get down, but he is raising his hand. Sir, all right, I'm going to repeat your question. You say it to me. Yes. Good point. Donatello calls April O'Neil with an old school, not a telephone, but
like a
payphone under his arm that is not attached to anything.
Well, it's when they're in the subway.
Yeah, the new
tunnel.
House.
So we're presuming that the phone lines are still working. Are we done taking questions? Those people can go away. Get the hell out of here.
Sorry.
Get out of here. Go back to your seats.
You disgust
animals.
Me.
You filthy animals. Oh boy.
Oh boy. What is it? What is it? The headline was, and
no,
I'm repeating
no,
it.
No, let's not
you
honor this.
To, yeah.
Let's not honor this.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it.
We hate you. We hate you.
I don't understand why that would even come into play.
We hey, everybody, you. That guy caused 9/11.
We hate you. Thank you for coming to our podcast.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there that might disagree with us. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions.
These are opinions called from Amazon. 5-star reviews from Amazon. Here we go. For the first time ever, a 5-star review comes in the form of an emoji. It is just simply a thumbs up and applause. 5 stars.
My son wrote that review.
Another one written by Michelle Edwardson. It was a very well-written PG movie. 5 stars. From Andrea Taylor, and this is the best, Andrea Taylor quotes, spiritual encourager.
Wait, that's her profile name?
Yep. Spiritual encourager. June, you're in touch with all this stuff. What does that mean?
No idea.
My goddaughter found it educational, and it kept her attention.
How so?
Better than some of that other foolishness on the TV. 5 stars.
Now, I have a godfather, and if I'm being watched by him, some shit went down. So the fact that she's saying that it kept the goddaughter's attention...
But that's what you're doing with your son.
Yeah, but he's...
But he's more directly related.
Yeah, but I'm blood. But I'm his only caretaker.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But some shit has gone down.
You're just well, the most important person in
But
his
I'm
life.
The most important person in his life. I mean.
Okay. Great movie. However, the script is weak at some times. However, two howevers back to back. The writer slash director scored an A+ in my book when they cast Vanilla Ice as the dance club singer.
Oh, come on.
The Iceman strapped a weak script to his back and carried the movie to an extraordinary success.
How? What? How? He's in one scene.
The Ninja Rap is definitely on par with MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This. And Sir Mix-a-Lot's Put 'Em on the Glass. By this movie.
Written by Vanilla Ice.
What is it that he wants them to put on the glass?
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
It. Put it.
Put 'em.
Now.
Put 'em on the glass? Anybody?
I think it's ass.
Here's what I will say before
Wait,
we...
Wait, there's only... those. That's it? That's very few five-star reviews.
Yeah, there a lot of them were facetious.
Oh.
I wanted...
A lot of them were How Did This Get Made fans hoping to be chosen in a future live episode.
I felt like this is worthy to talk about and show. So this movie launched this. And so this is the live stage show that followed this film called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of Our Shell Tour. And just take a little listen and you'll watch with us. Here we go.
One, two, three.
Performing on top of Radio City Music Hall. So that is, sorry, I thought Splinter did a song. I missed that. Pizza Hut firmly involved.
Oh, that is true. That's depressing.
And they based the tour essentially around the fact that they don't have to wear their shells because they're literally out of their shells. There are no shells. They're just wearing jean jackets and
sleeveless
bandanas.
Jean vests. That was really...
Really upsetting.
Really upsetting.
He has it on VHS, the man yells.
Not something you should brag about.
Ma'am in the fourth row, would you like to marry that guy? The guy who has it on VHS. Right.
I don't want to marry either of them.
Anything that we didn't bring up that we worthy of mentioning?
How old is my kid? 17.
Guys, this is your chance now to take a picture. While you take a picture, we will plug. Adam, what do people have to look forward to for you right now? They can follow you on Twitter.
You follow me on Twitter at Adam Pally. That's pretty great. That's good for me.
June, would you like to...
I'd love to plug a Netflix series that I'm on called Grace and Frankie, which is streaming right now.
You can follow June on Twitter at Miss June Diane. Jason, when the people can follow you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, sure, obviously. You can follow me on my Twitter.
And you're pretty active on there, right?
Very active on Twitter.
And you're also, right now, you're doing some periscoping?
Yep, I'm meerkatting my fucking face off. I'm periscoping, and I'm on Snapchat.
Great.
So if you want to see a picture of my dick, just hit me up on Snapchat.
Anything else that you'd like to promote besides all your social media forays?
No, not really.
I would like to promote my new web series, Sheer RL, which is, thank you, recreations of TRL with people like Terry Crews playing Diddy, Casey Wilson playing Celine Dion, Randall Park and Joe Latrullio as Eminem and Mark Wahlberg. So definitely check that out on YouTube. It's easy to find. And you can follow our show at HDTGM on Twitter. And if you have any problems with this show, any corrections and omissions, and you're listening, you didn't get a chance to get up here today, you can leave it on the forum and we read it in the mini episode. Yes.
And we should say, at this table out here are Nundercover posters.
Yes.
Go and buy one, buy two, buy three. Look at these people have
we
them.
We don't want to bring them back
to
LA.
We don't want to carry them home.
They're very heavy. Please
so buy them all, please.
Big thanks to Nate Kiley, does all our reachers. Avril Halley, who kills it all the time. Yes. Doug up in the booth. Everybody here at Irving Plaza. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, New York. We will be back.
New York City.
Thank you. Good night. Out of time. Jim and Rayville. Jason Mantzoukas. Give it up for all of them. Don't approach the stage. We're nervous.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.